Hello, everybody. It's time for another story of salvation. Now we are in our final week of the Lenten season. So we're on the home stretch of our Stories of Salvation series, and we're glad you've joined us. So today we have a short, sweet little story from the Old Testament about a guy named Jonah. Jonah is a pretty short book, so I've just prescribed the whole book for today. It's four chapters, they're pretty quick, so if you have time, have a look at that. In fact, pause me now and go read and then come back and we'll talk about it. Finding Jonah in your Bible can maybe be a little tricky. It's in this series of really short, tiny little books, so even if you're flipping through, kind of hard to find Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. So Jonah's lumped in with all of these prophets. There's some debate over whether Jonah actually is a prophet. This is certainly unique among the prophetic books in that it really isn't so much a series of prophetic speeches and judgments and all of that. It really is a story about Jonah, which makes it kind of fun to read. So the story opens with the word of the Lord coming to Jonah. And the word of the Lord says to Jonah, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And so what does Jonah do? He gets ready, he takes off, he sets out, and flees from the presence of the Lord. He goes the opposite direction. If you have maps in your Bible, you might want to consider having a look at the map and where is Nineveh. It's in the Empire of Assyria, which is this huge sort of powerhouse that was near to Israel, and in fact at one point had sort of taken over and overthrown and exiled their people. But the map I'm looking at least in my study Bible, shows Tarshish, like Nineveh is here, Tarshish, it says Spain question mark, over here. So God says, go here, and Jonah takes off for over here. So in our little pamphlet of the reading guide, I put Jonah 1 through 4, an unwilling prophet. That's kind of an understatement. But Jonah is not going to go to Nineveh. He's like, no thank you. So he's going to cross the sea, he gets on this boat, and while he's on the boat, they're out at sea, a huge storm blows up, such a mighty storm that the ship threatened to break up. So the whole crew on board, they all started praying to their own gods. So these were not Hebrew people. These were not folks who are worshiping the same God as Jonah. But I think the idea was like, if we all pray to our own gods, someone will save us. So the captain goes down and finds Jonah sleeping, and he's like, wake up, pray to your God, and maybe we'll be saved. And in the meantime, the sailors have decided that they need to kind of get to the root cause of this storm. It's not just weather. Somehow they know this. And so they cast lots to find out who is responsible for causing this big storm to befall them. And the way the lots land indicate that it's Jonah. It's Jonah's fault that this ship is about to be broken up in a storm. And so they say, what can we do? How can we fix this, Jonah, this storm that you have caused? And Jonah, he's kind of ready to take some responsibility for this. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you. They try to keep paddling. They don't want to throw him overboard. Finally, they pray to Jonah's God, and they're like, please don't, like, hold us guilty for killing this guy, but we gotta pitch him overboard. And so they pick Jonah up, they threw him into the sea, and the storm quieted. It was gone. So these sailors have come to fear God and in the process, and a large fish has come to swallow up Jonah. God has sent this fish to swallow up Jonah. And chapter 2, in fact, is a prayer. It's a psalm of thanksgiving in my Bible of Jonah thanking God for delivering him from the stormy sea by sending this fish. So chapter 1, verse 17 says, the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And now as we read this story approaching Easter, maybe that kind of sets off some sort of familiar vibes for us with Jesus dead for 3 days. Jonah is not dead. He's in a fish, but he's cut off from the world. But God is at work. God is going to bring him through. Again, chapter 2 is formatted on my page like a psalm, like a song or a prayer. And at the end of chapter 2, the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. So Jonah has been saved from the sea. If you want to read this literally, that Jonah was actually in the belly of a literal fish, I will not stop you from doing that. Chapter 3, we're halfway through this story already, and so far Jonah has not accomplished very much. But in chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Go to Nineveh." And so he kind of gives in. He goes to Nineveh. It's this huge, huge city. He walks kind of into the middle of it and delivers this big, stirring prophetic speech. Not really. All he says is, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. It wasn't like, you have done this, you have done this, because of this, that. He's just saying, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is like the bare minimum that a prophet could possibly do. But that is fitting with what we know of Jonah and his sort of excitement about being a prophet to Nineveh. However, when news of this speech gets to the king takes it very seriously, very seriously. And he covers himself with sackcloth and sits in ashes. He makes this decree and proclamation to the whole kingdom that everybody should fast. No human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Everyone should be covered with sackcloth. They shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. And so Jonah's speech had been extremely effective. God did see what the Ninevites, how they responded. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God changed his mind. Nineveh will be spared. Jonah, you could maybe imagine him sort of patting himself on the back, impressed that his brief words had brought about such a result, but that's not what actually happened. Because in chapter 4, we learn that Jonah was not pleased. He was incredibly upset. He was very disappointed that this had happened this way. And he cries to the Lord in sort of whiny, complaining style. And he's like, "This is why I didn't even want to come here. Because I knew that you were gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Which you might say are positive attributes of our God. But Jonah does not want them to be true for the Assyrians who live in Nineveh. These were a people who were the enemies of Israel. And so Jonah was probably looking forward to their destruction. God has decided to spare them. Jonah is really ticked off about it. And so he says, "Please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live." A very dramatic individual. And God wants to push back on that a little bit. He's like, is it right that you should be angry about this? And Jonah was like, Yeah, I should be able to be angry about it. Jonah goes out of the city and kind of sits on a hill to see what is going to happen, if anything. I think he's given up hope on that by now. But God decides to provide for Jonah again, and he creates this bush. The bush comes up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from discomfort. Jonah was very happy about the bush. And I had just learned from another scholar that in the NRSV where it says the Lord God appointed a bush, that the verb there can also be translated ordained, that God ordained a bush for this particular ministry, prophetic ministry to Jonah, because he's going to teach Jonah a lesson. So the bush comes up, great, The next day, God ordains a worm to attack the bush. The bush is completely killed. Jonah, again, he asks that he might die. It's better for me to die than to live. And God pushes back again. Is it right for you to be angry? Yes, angry enough to die. I don't know that I've ever been that angry, but Jonah is. And so God makes the point to him, like, if you're so concerned about a bush that came up in a day that has been killed, why aren't you as concerned for this huge city full of people and animals, both humans and creation, that were going to perish? Shouldn't you also be concerned about that? The end. That's the end of the story. So there's not a lot of resolution to Jonah, and you can kind of, I guess, fill in the blanks about what Jonah learned, if he learned anything from this little object lesson of the bush and the worm. I think there's a lot of learning and insights we could gain and gather from this short little story and this book of Jonah. One of those is the concern of God and the care of God for the foreigners and for the people who are not part of Israel. They're not, you know, the chosen people. In fact, they're the enemies of the chosen people. And yet God shows mercy, grace, love to the Ninevites. It kind of pushes us back to that covenant in Genesis where God tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make your name great so that you can be a blessing. You will be blessed in order that the world will be blessed through you. So the chosen people have a mission, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't care a great deal for the rest of the people beyond that family tree, beyond those borders. And so God cared that they were practicing injustice, and God cared enough to spare their lives. I also like in this book, particularly, the examples of God working through creatures and creation. We often see examples in scripture of God working through people and speaking through people. And in this book, we see God working through a fish or a whale or however you want to think about that. We see God appointing a bush and ordaining a worm. And it's all part of this lovely tale of Jonah that I hope you will dig into and explore a little bit today.